I have a sermon, but sometimes I like to start off with a little history. And I find it, you know, there's so many kind of cliches and sayings that people use but are kind of true. You know, I used to hear people say God works in mysterious ways 1,000 different times. But one of the historical points about this story that I think is very intriguing is in the Old Testament, it says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Joseph and Mary don't live in Bethlehem. They live in Nazareth, up north. And they are considered like a backwater to the power of the day, the Roman Empire. Like, Judea was important because of its location, but it wasn't rich. It was a tiny country. Nobody really cared about it. But the Romans had been fighting civil wars for decades now. The founding story of Rome is Romulus and Remus, the twin brothers, are abandoned and left to die, but a she-wolf raises them, and they grow strong, but maybe the wolf milk that they were drinking made them ferocious and angry, and Romulus kills his brother Remus when they're building the wall. And it foreshadows what will happen when Rome grows into an empire, because they're constantly fighting each other. So you have, Sulla and Marius, and then you have Pompey and Julius Caesar, and then you have Mark Antony and Octavian, and decades and decades of civil war and destruction and disruption of the economy. And so when Octavian finally kills all of his enemies and he's the last man standing, the Highlander, he's broke, so to speak, right? He's got to fund this empire. So he needs taxes, and he's got to know who is who in the zoo. How many people are there? Where do they live? What kind of money do they have? And so he just happens to, on the other side of the world, so to speak, for global realpolitik reasons, sets into motion this census that will cause Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem at exactly the right time. Who would have thought? At the time, nobody would have known who Jesus was, or certainly Mary and Joseph, and everybody would have known who Octavian is. Fast forward 2022 years later, and very few people know who Octavian is, and everybody knows who Jesus is. We do not know how things will unfold. But we do know that God is faithful. And if we listen to him and follow him, that his plans are good. Just as he unfolded things so that Mary and Joseph will be in Bethlehem to give birth to the Savior, he will unfold things in your life. He will be faithful to lead you if you are faithful to listen. It's easy to hear things and understand things, but it's very difficult to walk them out. The sermon that I want to give is about hope. But before I do, I want to illustrate from my own life, kind of just like God has a plan for you, for all of the goodness and all of the peace and all of the happiness that you deserve, there is an opposing force that has a plan for you. And if you are not aware of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will faceplant into his traps like I did this week. I've been very blessed in my life in a lot of ways. And I've been extremely blessed in my children. My son is 19 years old. He's not here today, Hector, but we're going to forgive him of that. And he and I have a really great relationship. But there are some things, like all father-son relationships, where there's tension, where there's friction. And one of these things is money. Shocking, I know, Steve, but it's money. He's got a job. He works at Trader Joe's. He loves it. He's a great employee. But he spends his money faster than he can make it. I don't know where he learned that. I have zero idea. I'm very meticulous. I save all my money, but he just spends his money. And Anyhow, the last 2 weeks have been very stressful for me at school and at Trader Joe's, and I got some news that I was really stressing about. And I didn't understand that the devil was using those things to shift my focus. So normally, I pray every day, and I try and listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, where it leads me to go. But when the stress of life can kind of cloud your mind. And so as I was going through this week, I wasn't faithful. I was still doing my prayer time, but I wasn't faithful to try and listen to that voice. And so I was just thinking about all these stressful things. I was thinking about money for the holidays, and I was thinking about the bills that I had to pay. I was thinking about this possible bad news that was coming down the line. And I didn't understand that the devil was turning up the heat. If you throw a frog in boiling hot water, it'll jump out, right? You've heard this analogy. You put a frog in regular water, and then you slowly turn up the heat, and that's how you boil it. And that's how the devil gets us, right? There are things that are obvious that we should avoid, but often we can't see that he's increasing the tension. He's increasing the stress, laying the trap for you. And so I didn't understand how stressed I was becoming. And then I looked at my checking account, and I had seen like a charge that I didn't recognize. And in my stress and in my ignorance, I blamed it on my son. And instead of coming to him like a wise father, I blew up at him. Do you know how hard I work? Blah, 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 blah. You understand what I'm saying? All of that time that we've been spent together building our relationship, in a moment, I torched it. I didn't realize. And then once I had erupted in anger, the devil's plan had come to fruition. He was done with me. And I went to my room and I was filled with guilt. But what do you say, right, after you rant and rave? It's not only the hope of salvation. It's not only the hope of eternal life. It's also the hope that the Holy Spirit will lead me in such a way to where I won't get caught in those traps anymore. And my son and I will have a stronger relationship. Him, my daughter, my family, my job, all of it is connected. We just have to be faithful. In my stress, I wasn't faithful to take a moment and think, to take a moment and listen, to take a moment and pray. And he caught me. Now, because I have had some growth, I was able, we reconciled later. But you don't see the traps that the devil's laying for you if you're not faithful to listen to the counselor who will point them out. Do not assume that you know everything. Anyhow, the hope of Christmas and the hope of the baby. Let me just pull up my notes here. I teach middle school, as you know. And we were all excited for Christmas. You know, the kids said, what are they going to get for Christmas? What are they going to get? As a young person, when I talk to young people, I often hear about their future plans and dreams. And they tell me all of the things that they're going to be when they grow up. And none of them say, when I grow up, I want to be angry and poor. All of them got big plans. Professional basketball player, right? A lawyer, a doctor, live in a mansion, drive a Bugatti, right? All of them have these big plans. And it's the hope that they have that gives them the joy that a child has. They have a vision for the future. They have hope for better things to come. That enables them to deal with hard things now. When we were getting them ready for the Christmas musical, not all of them were very enthusiastic about learning all the songs. And they were kind of grumbling about it. But because they're children, they think that one day things will get better, right? Sure, I got to listen to this old man yell at me about Rome, but one day when I'm playing basketball for the Lakers and I got $1 million, they have this hope, they have this vision of grand things, big plans. As a young person, I had those same plans, those same grand ambitions, the same hope. But as I got older, I was not faithful to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I got myself distracted, sidetracked. And somewhere along the way, I began to lose that hope. I wasn't going to be a professional basketball player. I wasn't going to live in a mansion. I wasn't going to drive a Lamborghini. I wasn't going to have a butler. Not only that, I would be the butler of my house, cleaning up the other people's stuff. And I began to lose the hope that I once had. As we get older, the devil tries to rob us of our hope, of our vision for the future. But that's what makes the gospel so inspiring. That's what makes it so blessed and good, is that God is always faithful. And he always provides hope. I may not play for the Lakers ever, but the hope of the gospel is that I'm never done growing. I can always improve. I can always get better, whether I'm 41 or I'm 78. The baby was born so that he could send me a helper, and that helper would lead me, so that I could be a better father, so that I could be a better teacher, so that I could be a better pastor. There's no end to the growth. There's no end to the life. The hope that he gives me is a wellspring. As a young person, I understand why young people try and shy away from the church, because they think that it prohibits the things they want to do. They want to enjoy life. They want to party. They want to have all of these life experiences, and they think that listening to the Holy Spirit and going to church is just a set of rules that will restrict them from the things they actually want to do. They couldn't have it more backwards. I was so wrong about what I thought the Holy Spirit and the gospel were. I thought it was a list of rules that were going to keep me from having fun. But it's not. The gospel, the Holy Spirit, is a guide that leads me constantly, regardless of my age or situation, into better things, better health, better relationships. And it's magnificent because there's no end to it. It gives me hope that when I lose my father, I think, well, I'll see him again. Why would I give that up? How foolish it would be. Yeah, but if you're a Christian, man, you can't do this, that, or the things that are killing me? The things that have robbed me of my happiness? The things that cause me to erupt in anger at my children? That's not freedom, that's chains. I've been bound my entire life, and I didn't even know it. But because a baby was born in Bethlehem, there's hope for me. There's hope for me that I'll be able to see the chains and take them off. The hope of the gospel is eternal vision, eternal life, eternal truth, eternal growth. Not a list of rules, it's a guide to lead me where I desperately want to go, where all of us desperately want to go. We all know that we're meant for something more. If we didn't believe that, why go to a psychiatrist? Why buy a self-help book? Life is terrible. Well, what did you expect? Well, I expected there to be more. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. But the problem is we treat the symptoms instead of the disease. I'm depressed, so I go to therapy. There's nothing wrong with therapy. Therapy is good and can help. But there's also got to be the help of the Holy Spirit to help you do the work. Did that make sense? I'm sad. I'm going to buy something to make myself feel better. Nothing wrong with buying things. But if you're not locked in to the Holy Spirit, you're just treating the symptoms. When I was a young man, I felt insecure. I felt anxious. I felt depressed. And then I would have some beer. Then I'd feel awesome. High-fiving everybody. That's treating the symptoms. There's no freedom in that. The Holy Spirit lets us get down to it. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. Save me. Save me from being a jerk to my son. Save me from being a grumpy old man. The Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, leads us into all things that are good. You got to determine for yourself what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. The gospel is for each and every one of us, each and every one of our own hopes and dreams. He says it over and over and over. To enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like a child again. I got to drink a juice box. I got to go to nap time. You got to have that hope that a child has. You got to have that willingness to grow that a child has. No child believes that they're done doing what they're going to do. They have this vision of what they're going to be when they're an adult, and those things are great. And then we become adults, and we start defining ourselves and categorizing ourselves. I'm a teacher. I'm a father. This is the box that I'm in. Are those bad boxes? No, but I'm so much more. I'm a son of God whose potential is limitless, as is yours. All good things. When I first started speaking up here, the devil tried to whisper into my ear all of the things that I thought were so true. What do you have to say to them, Gabriel? Who are you to say? What are they going to say? Who am I to say? The same person that all of you are. A son or daughter of God with limitless potential so long as I'm willing to plug in. You're not born again and then everything's finished. It's just the beginning. Every day is a new beginning. Every day is a new opportunity to be better than I was yesterday. Every day is a new potential, a new hope, a new vision. Remember that when the devil tries to scare you. I woke up in the middle of the night earlier this week. With fear gripped my heart, Todd. My son is 19 and my daughter is 13. And I thought to myself, in a very short time, they will be gone, Gabe. They're going to grow up and have families of their own. And the devil tried to scare me. What are you going to do when you got no one? That's the hope. I don't have no one. I'm never alone. I'm never done. The Holy Spirit will lead me then as He leads me now. Into peace. Into any good thing that I want. That's the hope. When they're children, there's hope. When they're adults, there's hope. When I'm a grandfather, there's hope. My limitations are not defined by my fears. The Lord sent a helper so that regardless of what's going on out there or up here, he will lead me where I need to go. It is so good. But it's also so difficult. It can be discouraging. I feel like I take one step forward and two steps back, one step forward and two steps back. And the devil, the enemy can use that discouragement and point to the places where I've been found lacking and use that as evidence of my failures. And it's in those times, especially those times, that I need to remember that there is hope for me, for you. Do not let the enemy rob from you. Don't let him steal from you. We have eternity to get better. There is hope in the gospel. The Bible says that the world was waiting in darkness, but God loved them so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And we've packaged that and boxed it up and said, oh, what that really means is you accept Jesus into your heart, and then when you die, you go to heaven. Awesome. That'll be great in 200 years when I die in the cyborg wars. But what about now? Whoever believes him will have eternal life. I believe him and he helps me with my children. I believe him and he helps me with my sleep. I believe him and he helps me with my job. It's all connected. It's all together. He loved me so much that even though I sat in this building for decades thinking I knew better and continually to pour more junk on myself, constantly denying and thinking that I was better, he loved me so much that even then he called me out. But I'm not out. I just have less junk. But he loves me so much that he will continually guide me. Even when I'm a jerk to my son, he calls me out. Even when I'm an arrogant person, he calls me out. Even when I'm a person who denies the truth of it, he calls me out. That's the beauty. When I think about the man that I was 10 years ago, I think, whoosh, man. I'm so glad that I don't live like that anymore. But I can't see the chains that are still binding me. And my sincere hope is that in 10 years, I'll think, whoosh, glad I'm not him anymore. Do you see? It's constantly building, constantly growing. If and only if I'm willing to put in the work. If I'm willing to do the tough, if I'm willing to pray every day, if I'm willing to try and take a moment and put myself second. The hope of the Holy Spirit is that he will guide me. I was reading a book a million years ago. And this guy told a story you probably have heard. It's like an analogy. A person's going on a trip across the country. It's 3,000 miles. He leaves at night. His headlights only reach about 50 feet ahead of him. He's got 3,000 miles to go. But as long as he keeps the headlights on, he can take it 50 yards at a time. I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. But the Holy Spirit is the headlights. And when I lost my temper with my son, the Holy Spirit shined a light on the ignorance that I had shown. Did that make sense? And so when it made it evident that I had messed up, in years past, I'd be like, yeah, well, whatever, he did other things. What about that other time he did this, that, or the other? The Holy Spirit shines the light on that little thing. It's not 20 years from now. Gabe, you were angry. You spoke in anger to your son. He's not going to be able to receive that. But I didn't want to go back in there and be like, hey, remember when I was just in here a second ago yelling at you? Sorry about that. That was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I felt stupid. I thought, I can't go in there. But the Holy Spirit compelled me to do it. I humbled myself. And I went in there and said, Aiden, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I could have said, well, I got a lot of stress going on, man. You know, you don't even know what I got to deal with. It's easy for you. I could have easily done that. And all of those things would have been true. But then I still would have been in the darkness. I'm not traveling forward on the road. I was wrong, dude. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And because he's got the same light, the same headlights, it's okay, Dad. Thanks, buddy. And we move forward. That seems like such a small thing. But victory is built on a mountain of small things. Peace is built on a mountain of being willing to humble yourself and say, sorry, dude. You don't have to say, dude, I say it. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Forgive me. That's the hope. That's the hope. Maybe if I do it well enough, even after they move out, they'll come back and see me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, if I'm listening, there's peace there. There's love there. There's hope there. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. Broad is the path of everybody telling everybody else what they got to do. Narrow is the path of following the headlights. Following the headlights. Where will they lead me? Where will they lead you? They will lead you into glory. They'll lead you into peace. They'll lead you into every good thing. You've got to be faithful. Not for them, not for him. I got to work on myself every day so that those headlights don't get too dim. I got to work on myself every day so that I can hear that voice when it says, you messed up, Gabe, you got to do this different. In everything. In my relationships, in my money. Gabe, you spend too much money on Postmates. Dang it. I'm going to do better. But I love Taco Bell. You got to do better, Gabe. I will do better. I ate Taco Bell, so I didn't do my workout. Gabe, you got to work out. For your heart, for your flesh. So you can keep on going down the road. Yeah, but it sucks lifting heavy things. You got to do it. You got to walk. You got to move. Yes, Lord. Yes. When I go into work and I see some person being annoying or difficult, and I think to myself, look at them. How could they? The Holy Spirit will give me patience for them, will give me insight into how I can deal with them better. Because my headlights don't work on them. They're in a different car. I can only worry about where I'm driving. But if I'm faithful, he will lead me no matter how dark the night is. When we lost Darcy, I thought, it's so unfair. It's so unfair. But I'll see her again. The hope. I'll see her again. And in the meantime, I'm going to live my life in a way that's worthy of her. When we lost my father, Ashley said, are we ever going to be happy again? And at the time I said, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit says, yes, you will, Gabe. You will. It hurts, but you'll see him again. And in the meantime, get to business and live a life worthy of the man you love. It's never going to stop. It never ends. It continues to grow. A sower plants seeds. Some of it gets eaten by birds. Some of it gets burned out. But some of it grows 100-fold. Don't let him rob from you. Don't let him take from you. Don't let him limit you. Turn your brights on. Shine the light into your own heart by praying and living with some integrity for your own good, for my own good. When I'm connected and listening to the voice, it doesn't matter if I get cut off 100 times on the freeway. Because I have the peace. When I'm living my life correctly, it doesn't matter if it takes me an hour or 10 minutes. I have the peace. When I'm not living correctly, I could be going 45 miles an hour down National if I even have to tap the brake. Ugh! My circumstances haven't changed. It's me that's changed. A baby was born 2,000 years ago so that an idiot could learn how to talk to his son without yelling. Shouldn't call myself an idiot. Sorry about that. But that's the hope. We sang a song. I'll close with this. Jesus is the reason for the season. And we all tongue in cheek made jokes about presents and all those other things. But Jesus is the reason for this season, for next season, for every season. Not so that I can go and tell other people how to live their lives. Jesus is the reason for the season because he's going to lead me into every good thing, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it so that my kids will look at me the way that I want them to look at me. I'm going to take it so that I can drive in LA without punching the roof. I'm going to take it so that I can have every good thing that he wants for me. I encourage you to do the same. I implore you to do the same. Regardless of whether or not you walk out of this room and think, man, he's full of it. Or you think, yes, that's awesome. My life has changed not at all. Do you understand? It's only we stand to gain. We stand to lose. It's not for them. It's for us. Take it. And enjoy this holiday season. Give gifts. Have drinks. Eat good food. Laugh and joke. But before you do all that, pray. Not so you'll be a good person, but so that those headlights are shining. So when you go to your family Christmas and your uncle or your brother-in-law says something mean, you might, whew. He'll lead you into every good thing. I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your help. Please bless us this week, Lord. There's a million things going on. Stressful things, good things, glorious things, bad things. Help us to hear your voice and shine the light of your Holy Spirit on our lives so that we can move through it in peace and prosperity. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. And help us to see the plans of the enemy so that we can overcome them. bring us back in 2 weeks filled with good news and praise reports. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.